Okay, Parshas Toldos. So the beginning of Toldos, we have the idea that Yitzchak and Rivka, knowing they're having problems having kids, going on, according to Rashi, for 20 years, a long time. That's right. There are schools to do, and they decided the school that they were going to work on was called Tefillah, called Davening. It's a school, I don't know if people know about that. And it says Vayeta Yitzchak. It's a Torah. It's not even a regular davening. It's article says, I think beseeching. Let's see what article says here. Entreated, entreated. So davening is one way to, and it worked. She became pregnant. Okay, but then what happens is the waiting years and years, as we know from too many things in life, the anticipation is greater than the event itself, on just all types of areas. And here too, the pregnancy was awaited, awaited, and then when it occurred, sadly to say, the children agitated within her. The attitude was, what do you do? What does a pregnant woman do when she's a righteous, holy person, when she's having agitation during her pregnancy? And that's what we're going to discuss tonight. No, good point though. It says the agitated children within her, and she said, why should I do this? And here goes the words we're going to discuss tonight. Vatelech, and she went Lidroish to inquire Es Hashem of Hashem. So she was in a situation here, and she went to Hashem to inquire. Clearly, on her level, she did not feel that this was a doctor issue to go to, which again, could be she's already pregnant, so it's not going to that type of doctor. And even though this is an odd pregnancy, she felt spiritually she's going to figure this out.
Well, at this point, we've never heard of the existence of doctors in
That is
Kabbalah.
also true.
So it's possible that the priests or the Kohanim are the
Excellent. Sadly to
doctors.
say, yeah. You're right. We can't take a lesson from this that you're saying that no, and those people might have been called doctors also.
The spiritual elements, oh, take humors and your vapors and
Very good.
spirit. You don't know.
Very good. Here it says, Vatel Chlidra, she went to inquire. Rashi says she went to inquire. Where? Because it says Vatelach, when she had to go somewhere. So they say Vatelach, I think Rashi tried to Darish. Vatelach meant she went to the Academy of Shame. Now we know, in just a few verses further, as the boys grow up, and it says, V'Yaakov, Ish Tam Yoishev Oyhalim. That's in Pasuk 27. In English, it says Yaakov was a wholesome man abiding in tents, plural. What does tents, plural, mean? And Rashi there says that Yaakov hung out in the yeshiva of shame and aver. Interesting. So there is shame and aver. They were related to each other, father and grandson. And even so, we have over here, it only went, Rashi says the word shame. Let's discuss. Why does Rashi say here she went to shame alone? And later on, now, obviously, here's Vatel, she went somewhere. And Olam is plural, so I mean shame behavior. But just know that already you have something interesting. Here it says she went to shame. Later on, Yaakov sat in the tents of shame and aver, which means they were together. But it could be you have shame and aver being grandfather and grandson running a major yeshiva, the yeshiva of shame and aver. But when you're going in to ask advice, seek guidance, then what you do is you go to the top man. Top man's going to be shame. He was older. So she went to shame to figure things out.
Okay.
Shame and Abel were related.
Was she related to Rivka in any way?
Probably.
Was it like her great great grand dad or just a
Probably.
local sage?
Something tells me yes. And the article adds on, who is shame? Article adds on, a prophet who could inquire of God on her behalf. She kept her predicament from Isaac and Abraham. Wouldn't that be a good idea? I mean, not everyone on the screen knows who shame is. Maybe some do. A lot of people don't know who Aver is, but everyone knows the name Abraham. That's her father-in-law, massive prophet. So why didn't she go there? So Rashi's quoting, article quoting from Gerari, the Maharal of Prague. She kept her predicament from Isaac and Abraham for fear that they might deem her suffering to be a sign of sinfulness on her part. Gerari, which means she knew that the physical ailments usually are a reflection of a spiritual ailment, of something you have to fix up. As we've discussed in this class, when someone stubs their toe, it could be they were running to the wrong place. So therefore, she decided she needed a spiritual deficiency course. So she doesn't want to go to her husband or her father-in-law. So she went to shame. That's what Rashi says. And what, how does Rashi know she went to shame? Again, back to the same thing. Because it says she went to inquire, it would probably mean she left the premises of where she was. Yitzchak definitely was living where she was. And odds are Avram was living there as well. And therefore, Rashi says, since it says she went, it means she went somewhere else. And now we have to figure out where, shame, why not Abraham? Doesn't really look bad.
Is shame supposed to be living in Israel at this point?
What?
Is she living in Israel at this point?
Yeah, because Yitzchak never left Israel.
So shame is somewhere in Israel as well?
Probably, yes. Didn't think about it, but yes.
And this is the same
they actually discussed where the yeshiva is. This is the son. Oh.
The only man on earth at this point that lived before the flood.
In fact.
That's a whole other life.
Some want to say, because there is going to be an obvious question here. And there are 10 plus answers, easy, by early commentators. Rashi, Ramban, those level. I don't know how you're going to do it. So what he says is this. Why didn't she go to Avram's? First answer is because she didn't want to express publicly her spiritual deficiencies. But some say, like Haskell got already, that she first wanted to know, before I go and find out what's going on here, let me know, is this a unique event? How unique is this event? So let me go to the oldest man alive and find out, is this new? Now, when I say new, did it exist recently? Or, by the way, as Haskell just pointed out, maybe pre-flood this existed. Let me know, have you ever heard of this idea that there are agitation going on during a pregnancy to the point that obviously was abnormal? If it was a typical feeling, she wouldn't have had to feel, you know, it wouldn't have been something abnormal. She wouldn't have gone to seek out to inquire. So why would she have gone to Shem as opposed to Abraham? Shem's older, lived longer, lived more previously. So first answer, don't reveal your spiritual deficiencies. Second answer, and there are many, go to the old man in the town. Not town, whatever.
And this is not the first instance of twins recorded either. Because don't we know that
Cain and Hevel
both had twins? They're triplets.
Right.
They're twins.
Right.
So it's not like her condition was like the first instance ever of twins. Because
I don't know. Only because I was going with you that there might not have been doctors. I wasn't sure that she would have known she had twins. But I don't know.
Maybe she's wondering, what is this? Why am I enormous?
Right.
And
right.
Maybe only people before that died in the flood before. Cain and Hevel already died, you know.
Yeah. Maybe.
10 generations earlier. No.
So now, the article continues, I didn't see this yet. As indicated by the next verse, Hashem conveyed the significance of her frightening symptoms only to her and not to Yitzchak. Since Hashem did not reveal the prophecy to Yitzchak, Rivka felt she did not have the right to do so. Even years later, she never told Yitzchak about the potential that one's going to be good, one's going to be bad. And in the laws of Chinuch, that's beautiful, by the way. When you want to raise proper kids, We don't tell the children, by the way, I got a prophecy that one of you is going to stink. The famous joke they say, I don't joke, famous story they have from Abraham Lincoln, that he was kicked out of school as a young child and he brought a note home because he couldn't read. And he came to home to his mother and his mother's reading the list and she says, they just said you're too smart for school. You can't be there anymore. I'm going to have to teach you from home. And years later, he read the note and it said, your kid is too stupid. He can't be in this building. So the idea is we pump our kids up to give them. So here, that's one of the reasons they say Rivka never told her husband that she had a prophecy, one would think. Next one, Chizkuni explains that this is why Yitzchak could not even imagine Esav to be a sinner. I mean, it was so beyond the comprehension because she never revealed it. And that is talking about a whopper of the ability to keep secrets. We always know that Rachel kept the secret, but here we have Rivka keeping a doozy of a secret as well. Okay, so we have so far, we did a lot. We have to about, since we're saying that, since it said the word she went, we're assuming it wasn't local meaning in the same household. She left her home to go. And therefore Rashi says she went to Shame, and we're saying Shame was an older person, and or she just, it wasn't because he was old, we just didn't want Avram. Go both ways. Didn't want Avram, wanted Shame. Now, there are other explanations when you look through the early commentators. So for example, some say she did go to Avram. Early commentators. Aye, where was Avram? Said that Avram was living somewhere else, and that's why she had to go to Avram. Only way to do it, because again, the word about Telech is she went somewhere. Now again, when you read Rashi, he's not saying that at all. A step back. What were these yeshivas about? What were they studying there? So there is one approach, is that they learned the laws of idolatry, and there's a Gemara somewhere that says that in the old days they had 400 mesechtas. We have like brachas, Shabbos. They had 400 volumes on idolatry. So if that, you can come with one answer. But some say. And we're talking about early commentators. What were these yeshivas about? They were learning the concepts of kindness and gratitude and character and inviting guests in, Musar. And if that is a true statement, would it not make much more sense to have Avram run a yeshiva as opposed to Shem? If you want to say Torah, we can come up with excuses. But if you're going to say that the yeshiva was learning all of these things about perfecting one's character traits, then Avram should have had a yeshiva. For some reason, it does not say he did, even though, again, it does say there is a Gemara that says that during the times of their forefathers, there was never a moment that there was no yeshiva. That doesn't say it here. It says somewhere else. Abraham had a yeshiva, Isaac had a yeshiva, Yaakov had a yeshiva, the 12 sons had a yeshiva. So, but here it mentions you went to Abraham. Now, I saw something else. Another answer. Why would she go to the yeshiva of shame when it came to this? Now, we understand why you want to have a yeshiva with shame because of everything we just said. But what about, again, back to the same question, why did she not go to Avraham? So one answer I saw, which is applicable to us today, we have an idea that we are supposed to daven with masses in a place where multiple people are. A minyan. Which means there is a concept, and we're going to learn that now. We're going to segue this. That it did, when it says, Vatelech Lidrois Es Hashem, she went to inquire of Hashem. So typical Rashi's learning, to inquire of Hashem is to go to someone else to inquire of Hashem. But there are many early commentators that learn that she wasn't going to inquire of Hashem from somebody else. She was looking inwardly. That's what it meant. To find her inner godliness, the Pintel Yid. And therefore, she had to, the one way to get that way is through prayer. Get close to God through prayer, we've been discussing. Find a new pathway in life through prayer. Because she realized that this agitation could be based on a spiritual deficiency. What better way to reconnect than through tefillah? Where are you going to go for tefillah? To the place where multiple people are. The yeshiva is a mass populated place. So she went to the yeshiva not to inquire of its leader, but to get a better prayer. Because we believe that prayer done in a area of multiple people becomes a better type of prayer, and therefore she did it as well.
At that point in the world, there were no religious institutions like synagogues either.
Cannot imagine.
The only place would have been a yeshiva was any Yiddish guy.
Excellent. So even though, of course, looking inwardly, she could find solitude, like the great forefathers were shepherds because they went out to the field, it says, they did it on purpose to be alone. It's not easy being alone. Dr. Abraham Tversky, who wrote 50 plus volumes, who was a genius in many areas. And he started the AA, I don't know if he started the AA exactly, but he was a major player in the recovery. Started in Pennsylvania somewhere, then became worldwide. And he describes, he was a PhD, he was unbelievable, a doer, an accomplisher. And one of his famous stories is that at one point they I think the college demanded he take a break. He had worked so many semesters straight, they said, you need a break. So he went on a vacation and he got into a pool and he sat in the pool. He writes the story himself. And he sat there for a couple minutes and he started going crazy. He was nervous. He couldn't do it. And that's when he started realizing if he can't sit by himself for 5 minutes and let his mind think about things, then he himself needs work for himself. So one of the things davening is supposed to do in a way.
Thank you.
Now, again, so we have a mantra, if that's the right word, and we repeat the same words over and over. But part of it also is to be alone for a few minutes and think about our lives and where it's going. And that's one thing to do. So therefore, she could have gone inwardly for solitude. That is a good thing. But that could be when it comes to the prayer aspect of it. That means to get to know yourself might be a good idea to be alone a little bit. But for the prayer aspect of it, that might be to do it in public. So she went to the yeshiva where there's a multitude of people. Again, we're not diminishing the idea of being alone, but that's just to gather what I got to do now. Now you pray for the help.
That doesn't say that she's in one corner of the room and her husband's in the other corner of the room. So they already were knowing how to pray in a room.
Very good. I mean, why they pray originally alone?
In the first place, it worked.
Right.
Isaac prayed opposite his wife, it says, right? Something like
Yes, right before that. So why did they pray there alone and here not?
Did she go to Shem?
Excellent. So some say, we're modifying it now, that she didn't go to Shem for Shem's prophecy. What it meant, Lidrus as Hashem, she inquired of God to create her own prophecy. She spiritualized herself to be a vehicle of prophecy. And the next words seem to say it. I don't know, it depends. The next words are, it says she went there, Lidrus as Hashem. Next words are, and Hashem said to her. Now, up until today, I didn't think about it either, I'll be honest. But you go into Shem, and Hashem told. If you learn she went to Shem, the person, to get prophecy, to get guidance, to get this, then Shem, the prophet, responded, this is what God is telling you. That's how simply on it. But according to what Chassel is modifying, that she was looking inwardly, and then we're saying, in the way that she once prayed before, so he added the word just now, prophecy, would mean that she was setting herself up to receive prophecy. She went to seek, inquire of God, meant herself, to become a vehicle to have God send her the message. Rashi's learning she went, don't forget, Rashi's learning she went to shame. Other early commentators argue. Some say she went to Abraham. Most say not, but some say went to Abraham. Some say she went to other prophets, nameless prophets. And then there's a vehicle of thought that, no, she didn't get anybody. She went inwardly. On the inwardly interpretation, we're now giving two explanations. Inwardly meant prayer, solitude, or inwardly meant, not a contradiction, or inwardly meant that she went for, be a vehicle of prophecy. Again, it's not like you could have prayer and prophecy being two separate things, or they can go hand in hand. It depends how you want to do it. You could do both. And she went now. So according to that, you could still say she went to a public place if it's easier to see prophecy. But I say, according to this interpretation, you don't need that. This interpretation is saying that she looked inwardly. It doesn't mean that. So I don't know. Oh, so either two ways we're doing it now. We're saying either is one praying to receive prophecy or one's perfecting themselves. That's why I said you become a vehicle to be able to receive prophecy. In fact, many moons ago, we spoke about the fact that when this Eldad and Medad were the two people who received prophecy, and Joshua came to Moses, to Moshe, and said, hey, they're receiving prophecy, they'll kill them. That doesn't sound like a punishable by death crime, receiving prophecy. What's so bad about that? Moshe Rabbeinu, Kalim, destroy them. Why? Someone receives prophecy. First of all, they're not active. It's inactive. You are receiving prophecy. So that's not fair. You can't kill them for that. So some of the commentators explain there that they weren't being blamed for receiving prophecy. They were being blamed for putting themselves in the position that they wanted to receive prophecy in order to potentially begin a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. But receiving prophecy itself would not necessarily be a negative thing. Why you receive prophecy, how you receive prophecy, why you were chosen, those potentially could be negative things. So here she was doing it positively, and she was answered. And Hashem said to her, no intermediary, no prophet called Shane ben Nayach, no one in between. Hashem answered her prayer, telling you, let me tell you what's going on here. Now, I saw a fascinating idea. I saw the Mais Hashem of Ashkenazi, 1500s. He says that, this is the one issue we're going to have. We keep on to say. We started out by saying that the reason why we assume Rashi said she went to someone else like Shem, not Abraham, is because it says the word she went. So if she went somewhere, we're assuming it wasn't local. So now we have to answer, according to Chassel's answer, that she went to pray. She went inwardly looking at herself. So what's the word she went? You don't have to go anywhere. Go into the corner of the room, like you said 20 minutes ago. Go into the corner of the room and start in solitude and, you know, put on a candle and shut the music off. Get off your phone for 5 seconds. That's all it means. So what do you mean she went? So you could say that went meant when someone goes into solitude, it's a new direction. The went is not physically, it's a direction in life. That means, for example, of people today, obviously, people who spend every waking moment with something in their hand, unable to remove it from their hand, to someone to say, I'm putting this phone down to think for a minute about my life, to think about where I want to be, where I want to go, that will be called going somewhere. And internalizing the fact that you now want to be have the ability of solitude, prayer, and prophecy, everything we're discussing until now. But in order to do that, you got to change directions. So going doesn't mean physically going, it means changing directions. Another answer. But I saw a brilliant answer by the Maisa Hashem.
Are you saying the Maisa?
The name of his book was Maisa Hashem, which means the story of Hashem. That's the name of his book. Wow. His name was Ashkenazi, and he lived in the 1500s. And he says, take him seriously, he said that he's learning, it seems like, that she went solitude, not going to someone else for prophecy. No, because we have a contradiction almost. She went means somewhere else, but Hashem spoke to her, means herself. He says, you know what she did? She went to a place she knew prayers are answered. Well, where's that? What we spoke about last week, where Isaac was going to be slaughtered, the Temple Mount. She went there. That's what he said. And we spoke last week on the power of Isaac's prayer. Isaac, her husband, the power of that prayer, and therefore she went back to that location. But I found even better.
Location,
the Beis HaMikdash. But I found even better. Well, Chasla said before that earlier it says, I mean, this whole thing right now is on Pasuk 22. But Pasuk 21 talks about how they both prayed. There is a medrash that says, I don't know how you picture it, each one in their own room, that they went to the Beis HaMikdash to daven for kids also. Now, it's unbelievable. Think about that. In fact, the medrash says that they offered a sacrifice there. That's how you prayed in the old days. So Isaac and Rivka married 20 years without kids, travel, I don't know where you know how far that is, travel to the Beis HaMikdash that doesn't exist yet, to that location. They offer a sacrifice in order to be able to have the ability to become pregnant. Then she becomes pregnant. Everyone's excited. She's becoming agitated based on the fact that she's feeling no good. Not sure if this ever existed before. She says, I got to figure this out. I want to inquire of Hashem. Meant me, myself, being able to receive prophecy. Me, myself, being answered of my prayers. Where am I going to do this? Vatelech. And she went. She returned to where it all began. She returned to the place where the tefillah worked. I'm going to tell you an amazing story. Friend of mine, let's pick out what's the most English name, since we don't know the guy. What's the most English name in the world? John Smith. Joe Smith? John Smith. Friend of mine has married kids already. His mother-in-law, going back 50 plus years, was at a doctor who gave them a very negative diagnosis about her abilities to ever have children. And it was very, you know, this is 50 years ago, and the doctors were saying there's no, a lot of the modern medicine doesn't exist. She's told by this high-class doctor, you're not ever having kids. And the husband that night bumped into his own Rebbe. His Rebbe's name is Reb David Kronglass. He was a European who came across during about a war through the Mir Yeshiva, became a big rabbi in Neri Saul in Baltimore. I know the story from the husband. So the father, the husband of this person, I know from the husband of the daughter. The husband was going, and he bumped into Rebbe Kronglass, his personal Rebbe, that night at a wedding. And he just unloaded. Doctors told me we're not having kids. Just unloading on his Rebbe, hoping for some positive words, something. He says Rebbe was quiet for a while. He was like thinking and quiet. And then finally looked at me and goes, don't worry, you'll have kids. Shocking. Not a person, Rebbe David Kronglass, not a person to make proclamations, not very famous in the books of stories. And a year later, this friend of mine's wife was born. Not the end of the story. Ties into that story here. Years later, this woman, this girl, becomes older and she's having her own infertility issues. And she decides, you know what? I know how where I come from. I came from a blessing from Rav David Kronglass. This time, we're many years later. Rav David Kronglass is no longer alive. She travels to Baltimore to go to the grave. And she's by the grave, and she's inquiring and praying, and she says a promise that if I have a kid this year, I'll name him David.
Yes.
David. And she had a kid within a year, and she had to, and her father-in-law had died within the year, so they took on a double name. They took the father-in-law's name, and they took the name David. But there is an idea that you go back to the location where you once were. In fact, there are many Hasidic stories that go out there that rabbis would walk into a place and they say, who sat in that chair? I could see a sparks of holiness 50, 100, 200 years later. Because just like we said this in the past, very important, on television, if a guy puts his finger down, DNA remains. 50 years later, they are arresting criminals. 50 years later, they arrest criminals for a crime they did. Why? Because he left over something. Do I see it? No. With a microscope, maybe. Particles of you is left over. As we know, everything in the world we have today physically exists in a spiritual. That's the source. The source is the spirituality of the world that makes it physical. Which means if there's something putting your finger down and it remains 50 years later physically, it happens spiritually. Has to be. So that would mean that if someone's praying in a certain spot, learning in a certain spot, doing chesed in a certain spot, helping someone in a certain spot, that energy could be there 50 years later. That's where we learn it from. The idea of a DNA existing 50 years later and finding someone in the spiritual, you go to big rabbis, they'll say it's obvious. They've had stories going back 100 years ago to rabbis walking down saying, I know about this 300 years ago. What was there 300 years ago? The sparks of holiness is hanging in the air over there. So here, Rivka, what Rivka did was, she said, listen, I'm in trouble here. I'm not going to anybody else. I'm going back to the source. You know what me and Yitzchak did? We went there, according to the Medrash, and we prayed and we offered a sacrifice on the Temple Mount. I'm going back there. And you know what happened? She got an answer. Because recognize the ability of many things. Sincere prayer with the help of previous sparks, but the help of yourself. She's going back to her own. She created that energy the first time around. So you go into a place, you create an energy, and then you go back and you grab that energy to help you out later on. That's the beauty of what we do when we do good things. We will continue more. Take these lessons to heart. You want to talk about change in the world? Put your finger down spiritually. That spot's changed forever spiritually. Changing the world forever.